All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we await a couple decisions from IU basketball players. Yogi Ferrell and James Blackman still have yet to announce whether they will be entering the NBA draft or returning for their next season. It would be, of course, the senior season for Yogi Ferrell and the sophomore season for James Blackman, and determining whether they want to join Thomas Bryant, who has now officially gotten his letter of intent into Indiana, and they have announced that has been received and processed and all that sort of thing. So Thomas Bryant will be on the floor for your Hoosiers this fall, and it's yet to be determined who all exactly will be joining him on the floor. Pacers officially started their offseason last Thursday, as they did not make the playoffs, ended up losing out on the eighth spot due to a tiebreaker. The NBA playoffs well underway, and very few surprises so far at this stage of the game, only a couple games into your first round matchups so far in the NBA. The NFL announced the full schedules, home and away, and times and all that sort of thing for their teams. And the Colts, of course, on the docket, get a couple home games with some Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Have to go to Pittsburgh, among other things. We'll talk a little bit about all of that before long. And IU football had their spring game on Saturday, and they have a scrimmage tomorrow night. So lots going on here in the world of sports. Let's talk on the gridiron to start with. As we mentioned, IU football had their spring game on Saturday. They have another scrimmage that's open to the public tomorrow night. So their spring game was a little bit more of just kind of a nice way to have a scrimmage. And people are doing this a little bit more. It used to be you'd have a spring game as a culmination of all of your practices, your final practice. You'd split everybody up and make it a competitive situation. Teams going away from that here and there, just doing different things. I think they might do a little bit more competitive amongst each other this week, but mostly just trying to use the entire thing as practice time, which is certainly what they're allowed to do. But of course, the big news, Nate Sudfeld is back. And Glass, we said at the beginning of last year, with the losses of Cam Kaufman, with the transfer of Trey Roberson also, the one thing last year's team could not afford was any injury to Nate Sudfeld. They lasted about half the season before they had an injury to Nate Sudfeld, and it really, really cost them. They were not what I would call in position to be top three in the Big Ten by any stretch of the imagination with him, but they were certainly heading to a possible bowl game, heading that direction. They end up completely derailing and having to go with the true freshman, Alexander Diamant, who did basically the best he could. The big news, of course, at the end of the year was Tevin Coleman's amazing 2,000-yard season, but it couldn't lead him to a bowl game. But the key to this fall, once again, you don't have a big-time experienced quarterback outside of Nate Sudfeld. So seeing him back at spring practice, seeing him healthy, seeing him productive right now, of the utmost importance for Indiana football. You've got an update right there on Twitter to what's going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is Mike Miller from the Herald Times. IU won't hold a scrimmage at tomorrow's open practice. Practice runs from 6:45 to 8:15. Fan activities run from 6 to 6:45, so I'm not sure what that means, except that I'm going to just read it again. IU won't hold a scrimmage at tomorrow's open practice, so it's going to be a practice. So.
Yeah. In the past, they have drafted teams amongst each other and played an actual competitive-type game. Doesn't sound like they'll be doing that, but it'll
sounded
be practice.
Like more on that on last Saturday, which was the more competitive side of things. But again, another chance to see the team one more time and get fired up. Kick off your little 5 weekend with a little football. Weather will be gorgeous, so get over there. It's free. They're going to have free food and stuff. Go to iuhoosiers.com for more information on that.
But back to Nate Sudfeld. Again, the huge key to this team going forward, after this fall, you can talk about what you want to do without Nate Sudfeld. But right now, all the chips are in the Sudfeld basket for this Hoosier team. It's going to be young again, and I know you and Terry talked a little bit about this on Monday. They're bringing a lot of guys up, redshirt guys who had to sit out last year still. They were very young at a lot of positions last year, so it's still a very young team. It needs a veteran like Nate Sudfeld, and without Tevin Coleman, it's probably going to have to rely on him and his arm even more so.
Well, there's no secret what Indiana football has been good at over the last 4 or 5 years, and it hasn't been defense. Let's be fair. The numbers bear it out. the offensive numbers show you they can move the ball around, and they do it a little bit better when they have better talent at the quarterback position. And that's not a knock on Xander Diamant, who's going to come here and redshirt and put on a bunch of weight and learn the system and learn how to play college football. And he had to be thrown into the fire. I don't know what else you could have done to avoid that. It wasn't going to happen. Tevin Coleman wasn't going to take 82 direct snaps a game and just run. That wasn't going to work that way. So you hope the return of Sudfeld opens up the offense and gives Indiana multiple ways to attack, because as we've seen over the Wilson era, when the offense is good, Dave, it can be really good, and it can put pressure on teams. And if the defense just becomes a little bit better in situations and a little bit better overall, you're not asking for a complete redo, but everything has to improve. Why? You're not going to a bowl game. So at the end of last season, it's not hard to figure out what you do. Well, you strip it down and you start over and say, all right, what worked, what didn't work, who's coming back, how does this personnel fit, do you stay with 3-4, do you go to 4-3, do you change this, do you do that, who moves to what position. You have all of that. Why? Well, it didn't work. It's not hard to figure out. The schedule gets a little bit easier because I think you've got one more home game, right? 7 home games instead of 6. Does that sound accurate?
I'd have to look at that. I'm not sure they do.
I don't think. I think they have more than 6.
I'll take a look while you're
take a look
talking.
At that, because I think that helps in itself. And you're going to play Southern Illinois, and you're going to play Florida International, some teams that you should beat and beat handily, and hopefully give that offense some confidence. And we saw in the spring game as well some guys you never heard of before playing running back, getting some yards, guys on the defensive side of the ball causing havoc. So, again,
7 home games.
7 home games
Southern
is better.
Southern Illinois, Florida International, Western Kentucky all at home start out, and then at Wake.
That's better than 6 home games. So you've got a chance, because we know how brutal the Big Ten East is going to be. So moving forward with this team, spring football is just that. It's spring football. You don't win any bowl games in this. You just hope guys get better. You hope they make the leap from their sophomore to their junior years, and they get even better from their junior years to their senior years, because those are the guys you're going to have to lean on. One thing this team has had is plenty of youth. Now that youth is turning into experience, and that experience has to fire, because there's not – where else are you going to go? Go young again? Keep going with youth? Well, yeah, you've got to mix some of that in, obviously. But some of these guys now that have been here for 2 springs or even 3 springs should be able to have this figured out. And, Dave, the results, they have to be tangible this fall. And if the Hoosiers want to go bowling, it's quite simple. They have to be 6-6. And yep. You can talk about who you're going to beat in the Big Ten today. It has no bearing on what's going to happen on October 1st. So we'll look at the schedule maybe a little bit later down the road in the fall.
Well, I said it a couple years ago. You got to give this coach, any coach at IU football right now, with the way this program has been battered, you got to give them some time to develop the depth. And the fact that they're still playing lots of freshmen last year, the year before that, and we'll throw some red shirts in this coming year, shows you the talent they needed to bring in, and it just doesn't happen overnight. So,
unless UAB's football program goes out of business.
We're hoping that the patience will be rewarded here this year and the next. But now we look forward to the fall with a healthy Nate Sudfeld, and let's keep him that way, please. Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball tonight. A little after the end of the program, 8 o'clock pregame, as the Reds look to take their 3rd of 4 from the awful Milwaukee Brewers.
Good, keep beating them.
Already in the season, 2-12 the Brewers are already. Reds 500.
22 runs in the first 2 games, and then they'll be
scoring.
Lunchtime tomorrow, so we won't have that one for you, but they're back in action on the weekend after the 10-game road trip. It's back home to the great American ballpark, the site of this year's All-Star game, and they will welcome the Cubs to town. So the Central playing each other's socks off here to get the 2015 season started. Well, let you know where you stand quite quickly. And, again, got to stay in that race. And right now the Reds doing a fine job. I don't know how many other teams, Dave, have been out on the road for 10 games are going to be here in the first, 3 weeks of the season?
No, that's rough.
Get that out of the way, especially in the division, and then get home and do what you need to do. Take care of business.
Won their first 4 and had struggled after that, but won 2 straight. Got to get healthy against the teams you should get healthy against, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Brewers have 4
home
runs as a team.
So let's keep that up. They do have Cubs and Brewers again on this home stretch upcoming. 333-2665, staying on the gridiron, but moving up the road just a little while. The NFL announced the full slate of games for all of their teams, including times and at least for now, the stations they will be on, the networks they will be on. The Indianapolis Colts bring to town probably their two marquee teams and certainly two marquee players in Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Sunday, October 18th is a Sunday night game against New England here in Indianapolis. And then Denver comes to town Sunday, November 8th. That is going to be an afternoon game, so a 4:30 kickoff for that. As far as marquee road games, they do play a Monday night at Carolina, and they do play a Sunday night at Pittsburgh. But nothing else really stands out to me as all that kind of shocking or appalling. You get the Saints at home. Buffalo, maybe a tricky Buffalo team, who knows, with the new coach up there. They were at least competitive last year, but nothing scares the hell out of you. Miami late in the season?
Well, the only thing you have to remember is when you play your 16 games, you play your division twice. There are six of them, so that leaves you 10 left. You play a division within your conference, which will be who this year?
That is the East. Buffalo, New York, Miami.
There you go, and the Patriots, obviously. And then, so there's four more. And then you play four more against an NFC division, and it sounds like the South,
which stunk last year.
Sure did. So that's Cam Newton and the Panthers, Drew Brees and the Saints, Tampa and whoever they might pick first, and Atlanta. And then you play two teams.
Two other same place teams.
So that would be Denver in the West, and the other
Pittsburgh.
One, and Pittsburgh first in the AFC North. So there are, you're going to play how many first place teams, Dave? You're going to play
three, four.
You're going to play four, and that's what it's going to be. And then the divisions are the luck of the draw. Basically, that's how it boils down to. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Colts, at this time of the season, this time last year, had the easiest schedule in professional football, took well advantage of it, won their division, hosted a playoff game, won that. And as you mentioned, this one doesn't look incredibly heavy lifting. Yep, Buffalo will be better. It's Rex Ryan. You never know what happens with that. You never know what's going to happen with the Jets. Miami's decent. New England's, that whole division was 8-8 or better last year. So that wasn't bad.
It wasn't great,
but it wasn't awful.
Yeah.
No, but Miami's loaded up on defense, right? They're ready to go.
Our division was awful, and of course the AFC, NFC South was awful. But Pittsburgh beat us. Denver is always going to be a struggle. So.
But
certainly
the good news is,
it's the NFL.
And the two big dogs are here, and that always helps. You'd rather play them here than on the road. And why? Well, if it comes down to tiebreakers with those two, I'd rather have a shot at them in my own house in the regular season. And if it has to be that way in the playoffs, I'd rather have them in Lucas Oil Stadium than going on the road to Foxborough or Denver. It's just It's a lot easier to do it at home.
Here's what else you like. A 10th week is their bye, so they get plenty of time to see what happens and maybe take a nice week off in the middle of the season. They have five night games. Four of them are before the bye, only one of which at Pittsburgh is after the bye in the first weekend of December. And I'll tell you what, if you're coming down the stretch and you need to win some games, you like the looks of at Jacksonville, Houston, at Miami, and Tennessee, a hell of a lot more than at least a couple of the other games on your schedule. So not the most daunting way to finish your season if you need to grab a couple for some seeding. Positioning.
But as we always see every year in the NFL, there's one team where you say, "What? How did that happen?" And you never know what it is. And in the NFL, the league where they play for pay, everybody's always playing for something. And sometimes those last couple games of the year, those are the ones you can't fall asleep on because you got guys in different cities that were borderline starters looking for contracts.
Miami paid a ton of money for Ndamukong Suh.
They sure did. Cameron Wake, and they got some action down there in the pass rush.
We'll see what they look like on the defensive end.
So football season, again, the NFL never stops their marketing machine. They throw this out a week before the draft, which I believe is a week from tomorrow, correct? The 30th. That starts the draft in Chicago. And, again, the NFL just keeps churning and churning and churning and churning. And the Colts, all their preseason games will be televised on Fox 59. At least that's what the Star tweeted out this afternoon. So everybody will get a chance to see all of those. I think it's St. Louis, and I can't remember who else I saw on.
I've got it here.
On
at Philly,
they always
Chicago,
play Cincinnati.
At St. Louis and Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati is the traditional wrap-up because it's a nice short little trip either way going across 74. So that makes sense, and we'll see what the Colts do with the draft. We'll do obviously more on that next week as they will be round one is gone, correct? Did they get?
No.
Is that where's the Trent? Where's the Trent Richardson pick? That was last year.
Yes.
Okay. Because these guys switch up the years, and I'll give you two of these for one of those. All right. Good. So the Colts.
No, I
again.
Believe they've got most. They've got their regular draft picks, and they've got one or two on the late for compensatory picks.
There you go. And the only players the Colts really have lost. I saw Josh Gordy went somewhere in free agency.
Yeah, it's really the year before. It would have been who left in the preseason or in the
last
in
year.
In the free agency before last year. So
and then
really
I
not
saw
a lot to talk
today
about
that
there.
Jarrell Freeman is not doing any organized team activities because he is either wants a new contract or is out of contract. I'll have to look that up. So that not a lot coming out of Colts camp is the point in all of this. And that's the good news because you don't want to hear anything this time of year.
No, exactly.
Because if you're lifting and you don't want a guy just running around tearing his Achilles up or busting up his knee, because that's usually all you hear out of this time of the year.
No, and of course we're already in dealing with new players coming in to the team. Trent Cole trying to add some pass rush and the question about Robert Mathis coming back and what to do with Bjorn Warner. On the offensive side, of course, you got Frank Gore at the running back position. You've got a couple different receivers that are interesting.
That works
start
for me.
Yeah, Andre Johnson.
We'll start there.
You throw out an awfully good CFL player who played at Ohio State and is Chris Carter's son. That's Duron Carter. And then you've got Vincent Brown, who signed not that all that long ago, was last, to my knowledge, with the San Diego Chargers. So they're bringing in some names, some guys, some big guys in particular.
You
can
fight
make some
for
plays.
It, and competition at all positions is good. Obviously, Reggie Wayne is no longer a Colt. We all knew that. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that's paying attention to the football.
He hasn't been signed anywhere yet,
nope,
has he?
Not to my knowledge. I haven't read anything about it. So we'll see what the Colts do in the draft. And that's next week. That's a week from tomorrow. The NFL does that. They light you up on Thursday night, and then a couple rounds on Friday, then all the rest of it on Saturday.
Of course, playing in the AFC Championship, we've got one of the last draft picks overall.
Every round.
The 29th and the first. And then the second, third, fourth, fifth,
unlike
sixth.
Your fantasy draft, it doesn't
no,
snake
exactly.
back.
We've got an extra pick in the sixth and in the seventh towards the end of both of those rounds. So make it 9 picks overall, but the two additions are in the sixth and seventh round. So make hay late in each round and see what you can do. And, of course, you know, we've seen some trades, so we'll see what happens there. Trent Richardson, of course, not with the team, so let's not do that again. But a lot of ways the Colts can go. Certainly we'll talk more about that when we're on the show next week previewing it. But got to like those options for Andrew Luck to throw to.
Well,
not a lot of losses there other than Reggie Wayne.
And the next part is keeping him alive up front, so that would probably be the angle that those folks will have to be looking at as they get into the draft. Next week, the board should be put together. Where they draft, it's got to be more need-based than it is best on your board, because I think when you get into the last 3 or 4 picks, 5 picks of each round, there's especially in the first round, maybe you get a guy there that slides through or drops. If somebody's got an attitude problem or whatever.
You don't have much you can trade to move up.
No, that's the whole thing.
It's hard to see that.
I don't know if there's somebody you move up from 29 to 18 that really blows your doors off, because you have to give back so much for it. With 9 picks, you should be able to find some guys, find some competition.
No,
find
maybe
some.
Second or third round, you try to throw in an extra low-round draft pick and move up there. If you see a running back, that's where you see a lot of running backs nowadays go, when you find value. Certainly a safety, is another spot. So again, a lot to talk about there for the Colts. But again, excited. Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, those are two amazing veterans. We'll see how they fit in
and how
much they've got left in the tank.
Good guys in the locker room too. Don't forget that. And that's going to completely help.
Well,
take a little bit of the Reggie Wayne load off the shoulders.
With
there.
Reggie leaving, I mean, he was such a great guy and in the locker room, and took a lot of focus in the press too. So you need a little bit of that help. Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk the NBA and the Pacers. What do the Pacers do going forward when we get back? Taven Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming note. A little after the show ends, we will have Reds baseball back on the air. 8 o'clock pregame as they try to take their third of the 4 games scheduled from Milwaukee. Tomorrow noon, or 1 o'clock, I should say, is game 4, the getaway We won't have that one for you, but we'll have tonight, 8 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. Reds baseball coming up here in just a little while.
And don't forget, coming up in May, open wheel racing starts here on WGCL. Our season kicks off with the Grand Prix of Indianapolis coming up Saturday, May 9th, 3:30. Is Green Flag Racing. So when we get to next month, we'll get you all the pre-race coverage times and all of that. And obviously that will lead up to the Indianapolis 500 Saturday, May 24th, 11 a.m. is pre-race coverage. Noon, they drop the checkered flag from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, same as the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. They're going to run it through there as well. But the Oval, the greatest spectacle in racing. I'm not sure how many of that's 90-something, isn't it? Or 92, 90? We'll have to look it up. Yeah. It's a lot. And that's coming up Sunday, May 24th. We'll do the Fontana IndyCar in the end of June. The Brickyard coming up the end of July. And we'll wrap up our season out in Sonoma. So we'll have about a race a month, and we'll add the Indy Grand Prix, which I think is a great idea they did. I won't do a whole show on racing here. But the Indy in the month of May had deteriorated. It didn't have that buzz because you don't qualify every weekend. You don't practice every week because of the money and the cars. You don't have all that stuff. Anymore. But now you've got an extra race, which is going to spice some things up. So the teams don't have to travel. They're there. They're going to stick around. They're going to run the road course. So pretty good idea. I've been harsh on the folks. It can't all be zip lines and country music concerts, folks.
No,
you got to give racing fans racing, and that's what they want. I'm not sure how crazy they are about the Grand Prix style, but you're not going to give them two oval races in 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. So at least it is racing. At least it's at the track. At least it's Indy in the month of May, and we'll have it all for you here on WGCL.
Of course, you've got the Brickyard later in the summer, but that's a whole another thing. Trying to reclaim May, as you mentioned, a great idea. Not playing in May this year are your Indiana Pacers, finished in the ninth spot in the East due to a tiebreaker with the Brooklyn Nets. Couldn't make it work in their last couple games. They gave it a valiant effort in their last week and a half, but ultimately came up short. Exactly.
Deep.
And look, Paul George, the loss of Paul George in the offseason to a kind of a freak basketball injury, there's not much you can do about that. You're talking about an all-star, one of the 10 or 15 best players in the league, going down with a freak leg injury
that
keeps
him
out most of the year.
Where'd he get hurt?
USA Basketball.
He's playing for Team USA. There you go. They connect the dots on that one, and we figure out that's not good at all. Neither was Roy Hibbert, and David West got old before our very eyes, and those boys are going to make about a quarter of the Indiana Pacers payroll next year. If they take their player options, which they would be clinically insane not to. And Larry Bird pulled no punches, as we talked about a little bit on Monday, coming out at his press conference late last week and saying, hey, I've talked to Frank. We're going to play a different style. We need to score more. We need to get up and down the court more. And if those guys want to be here, we'll be more than happy to have them.
That doesn't sound like Roy and David basketball.
Well, somebody's going to have to get some different minutes, and somebody's going to have to get some different stuff. Because what was working is changing, in Larry Bird's opinion. And it's very interesting that he signed these guys, and it took him 1 year of not having Paul George to figure out it's not working, and to essentially go from defense, rebounding, possession by possession to, hey, we need to score more. Switching and flipping that paradigm is going to be very interesting. They liked what they saw out of Rodney Stuckey. Guy can come off the bench and fill it up. Now his consistency level, there's a reason he's only getting paid. He's getting paid and not more than that. You get 26-6-6, 28-4.
That was a one-year contract too, right?
Well, that's a point, but if you're going to resign a guy like that, at least now you have he's got a feel of playing with these guys about what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So they've got Scola to look at as well. I think you have to keep Scola because he was the functioning power forward this year. But again, the open market breeds silly contracts. And there's other teams that think, I'll overpay for Scola because it's a huge need, and I need that guy. It's not based on points, rebounds per game, or anything like that. If a team says Kevin Durant needs some protection up front and Scola's the guy and we got to overpay for him, we're overpaying for him. So don't base any of this on how Scola played at the end of the year and say, well, why wouldn't the Pacers sign him? Well, the Pacers, we just told you, have two guys that are going to make about 26% of their salary cap in Winston Hibbert.
And they're already paying Scola almost $5 million right now. I mean, they're not going to go up to $8 million for Luis at this point in time. He's a nice asset to have coming off the bench. There's no question.
But you know what?
Another guy that if you're going to play fast, that doesn't lend into Luis Scola either.
You still need guys that rebound and do the dirty work. And if Wes can't get up and down the court, well, he's not as valuable doing that. And Roy Hibbert showed you this year, how many rebounds a game did he get? 6.5?
Deal with Roy here in a minute.
Well,
but let me
you
ask
have
you,
to because he's getting paid $15.5 million.
Let me ask you about this thing, though, with Larry. Where does this come from that just at the end of the year he looks at this team and says, you know, the last 5 years of putting together the nucleus of what I put together and then adding a few other pieces to it here and there, because Miles was a piece they were happy about. Stuckey was a piece they added for a year. Luis Scola 2 years ago they brought in. They drafted Solomon Hill. Where do they all of a sudden come up with, hey, we got to change our style?
Simple.
After you spent so much time putting this group together.
They gave Hibbert a big contract. It didn't pan out. You can't play any faster than you can with Roy Hibbert on the floor. So right. if you pay a guy that kind of money for the deal he got, they had to play around him. They couldn't bench him and try something different.
No, but why would they look at it now and say we got to? He's going to be around here anyway,
but
we're going to try to change.
Just one more year, because if you wait one more year, you're one more year behind that. They've also found out that George Hill might not be the best point guard that they thought.
Sure, he's a six man.
He's more. He's a combo guard. He's right. A guy that carried him down the stretch. I'm going to be very fair to George. He did not have a lot of help down the stretch.
No, he's a real nice player,
and he's got a decent shot on him. He's more of a streak shooter than a pure shooter.
He's
a
better one and coming a half. Off the bench.
He's a one and a half that can play with a proper guard next to him. That could be Paul George. That could be a pure point guard. You can fill in the blank with that. So you've got now we've got 40% of your lineup that doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
David West signed him to the extension. He got real old real fast. Had lingering injuries he couldn't get over.
Sure.
So he was a guy at 100% in 32 or 3 you could play the style with. There's 60% of your starting lineup that's not doing what you need done.
Right.
So you either try it one more year or you start the revolution or the evolution right now. And I think he's right.
Well, can he start with the revolution with these two guys that are going to make that much peril?
Yes.
Because there's no chance in hell these guys are not taking up their options.
They
not
can
our
do
options,
it.
Their
and,
options.
And again, when you look at teams that play that way, you can pick out teams across the league that have second units or guys off the bench that don't play in that style that give them. Bogut's not sprinting up and down the court for Golden State.
Sure.
He's not lumbering, but he's not.
You stick Roy on the second team, Roy and David on the second
team,
and try something different.
And then it's your changeup. That's your short yardage situation because they're only going to play about 3.5-4 minutes a quarter.
Expensive changeup, but you're right.
But you have to start it at some point, and you have to give these guys. And the other good news about it is they're both going to be in contract years. And guys tend to play a little bit different in contract years. We know that. So they're going to be – there's a different motivation. Bird's motivation is what the Pacers are going to be doing moving forward. What's Hibbert's motivation? What's West's motivation?
Does he signal – 333-2665 is our phone number. Well, sure. Does he signal to the rest of the NBA that David West, Luis Scola, and Roy Hibbert are either – well, we'll leave Luis out of this. But at least with those two guys, they are 1 year and done and out of here, and we've got no negotiating ability
of
doing anything trading them right now.
Part of his press conference. Said we're going to look at playing Paul George at the four. So that tells you exactly what you need to know about.
Well, but I'm thinking after this coming year. I mean, you're looking at this coming year, whatever you do with them now, haven't you told the entire NBA that there's no chance you're signing these guys? So come on and get them, guys. You take them.
But they
lost all your negotiating.
But they
ability.
Have to take their contract.
Well, not after this year. They'd have to sign them to
that's my point. So after the season, they walk, they get all the money.
Right.
So if you trade them, you got to trade 125-75. You got to bring something back, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they know they want to get out. That's fine. The team that's going to buy Hibbert will get out from underneath this contract. You see bad teams do this all the time. They buy a guy at the trade deadline knowing he's going to expire. But the Pacers got to get something good for that because the Pacers want that money off their books
Exactly.
So there's really not a leverage situation there because if you at the end of the year you let them
all
walk for
free. All the
leverage
is the money going away.
The money is off
to
the books.
To a suitor, not to us.
So that's 15.5 and I think West is at 11. Yeah. I mean, that's $26 million. That's two really, really good players.
No, I know that's how the NBA plays it.
It does, but you got to remember, when you trade, the value goes down, but it goes up in the Pacers average because that team that's doing business with the Pacers wipes that money off their books.
The Pacers have to get something. That's how we got George Hill.
That's the whole thing. It's like, hey, you want to get money off your books, you give us your second best player.
Right.
We'll take 3 more years of his $12 million because he's 25, 26, 27.
Hopefully.
Well, then you don't do the deal.
Right,
then you just clear your books at the end of the year.
Right.
So the Pacers are in a really good spot to put it together. So I think Bird's throwing it out there to potential free agents and guys saying, hey, look, you can come and play with Paul George. You can come and play with Hill, who's a decent player. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're going to get up and down the court. So you have to start this process now. And Larry Bird, again, he knows what these guys can't do. He watched a whole year of it without Paul George.
Sure.
Paul George isn't going to come in and make David West and Roy Hibbert better.
No,
I don't believe that's going to happen.
Look, they were all better with Paul George
on
the floor at his best.
They were all better as a
unit. Yeah, I mean,
but
there's no question.
But that unit is older, and Roy Hibbert did not step up in the absence of Paul George.
Well, that's the biggest
part.
And
play like a guy who's being paid.
That's the biggest part. I said this when they signed him to this contract.
If you were putting
this much money in Roy Hibbert, you got to get more out of him than you've gotten, and you're paying entirely on the idea that he can and will improve. And let's be fair, he hasn't, because last year was the year you needed him to take on more of a role. He didn't have to become Patrick Ewing all of a sudden.
But he had to be closer than he was. In August. Not November, off season, not December.
No, absolutely.
Not January. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar worked with him. They asked Kareem a month ago, "What's wrong with him?" I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can't help you. I can't figure it out. And the point about that is, it's the money. And the money didn't work out when Portland was sniffing around with this deal 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Go ahead, take him, all yours. And then Hibbert had a great year, not the first year, but the second year. Remember, everybody talked about his verticality and how he would stand straight up and was strong and was an all-star. And once he hit that all-star game, since then, he has been below average.
Yeah.
Not average, because at $15 million a year, average is about 18 and 10.
Do you bring him back at 8?
No, because the ship has sailed. And Larry Bird just told you in his press conference last Friday it did. If Roy wants to stay with us, fine. We'll have him. That's Larry would love for him to say, you know what, I'm not going to exercise. I'll go somewhere else and get a bigger.
That's not going to happen. That's absurd.
Hibbert's agent won't let that happen. Unless they all find a happy way to make it happen, which I don't think it'll be.
But there's no point even talking about the honor of getting out from the deal with Hibbert.
They tried it. They tried to win that way. Yeah. I'm not saying that way wouldn't have worked.
In the East, it's
I'm not saying that way wouldn't have worked this year. Mm-hmm. But given the circumstances,
without the score, sure,
you can't go in
and
that
defender. Let's be fair to Paul George.
In that league, you can't do it with missing 25 points a night. You can't make that up. You can't bring 5 guys in to do that. You can't bring in 4 guys in to do that, and you can't bring in a guy that gets his own shot who's 6'9" and a half, 6'10", to do that. So coming back next season, again, the Pacers, the leverage will be starting anew, because George was drafted when he was what, 19. And he's like 25.
20,
he's
right, yeah. Exactly.
He's right in the middle of his prime. He's not even in his prime yet. He's getting ready to touch
he
that.
He is 24.
So what you do is you clear the books from these guys, and then you build around George for another 5 or 6 year run. And the Pacers, Hill's not a terrible player, like I've mentioned.
No, he's
28. I don't have a problem with him. I think C.J. Miles has turned out to be a really nice find.
He's 28. Mahimi's 28.
Mahimi's cheap as chips. He does a job.
Stuckey's 29.
And Solomon Hill,
Solomon
I think,
Hill
has a future.
Solomon Hill was 24.
I think, he was a senior when he came out, right?
Yeah,
he's been in the league
so.
2 years.
I believe so.
That's a tough one. But, again, the Pacers have a little bit of a foundation there. But when you're gonna release this cash – If they want to go and stay and play in that end of the sandbox, they can get a couple of good players. And don't forget the NBA. Everybody forgets this. What free agent wants to go to Indianapolis?
The free agent who wants
to get the big, nasty,
right.
Not Paul George deal, but you want a big, nasty deal. Money talks, folks.
Yep.
Money talks.
Now, if you need to be a multimedia athlete and go to New York, then fine. But
look how well Carmelo's done.
Well, exactly right. You can do that just about anywhere now. Hey, folks, got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. When to consider Twitter a legitimate news breaking source?
It is when it's a legitimate journalist.
Exactly.
Who works for a legitimate publication or TV station.
And they're all legit when they're saying D'Angelo Russell is going to the NBA. And
press
thank God
conference
for that.
Tomorrow, Ohio State will have Thad and Russell talking about that. So they're going to beat the Hoosiers to it, Dave.
Yeah,
we've got to wait till Saturday evening at the Northside Steakhouse
as
up
long
there
as our guy's
in
leaving.
Indianapolis. Yep, and it's a shame for college basketball, but D'Angelo Russell is really, really, really good. Some Hoosier fans who might not follow college basketball as much as they follow the Hoosiers might say, well, geez, he came here and played and stunk up the joint. Yep, and that was about one of his worst 2 games of the year.
Yeah.
And he did not look the part that day, but after that, I think he scored 29 the game before that. I think he got 29 the game after. after that, and then 20, yeah.
I can think of two games where he did not show up in rough environments, but other than that, he was money all year.
Freshman
long.
On the road in the Big Ten.
And you know, if you look back to what they were talking about before the season for Ohio State, they weren't quite sure what role
they
he was
sure
going to have exactly. I mean, they knew he'd be good, but they didn't know if he'd be a point guard, or if he'd be a scoring guard, or maybe a three,
they knew,
or what exactly.
They knew Thompson couldn't shoot. They knew Scott couldn't shoot. Yeah. They knew, what's the big stiff in the middle?
Amir Williams.
Can't shoot.
Yeah.
So he just came in and said, "Boys,
here,
throw me the keys. I'll handle this.
Give him the ball.
Just have your hands
Do
ready.
Do what he tells you.
When you're open, I'm going to pass it to you, and you'll be shocked how open you are because no one can stay in front of me." So bye-bye, D'Angelo Russell. And don't worry, Ohio State's got like the, oh, I don't know, that's top something recruiting class coming
yeah,
in. They got
course.
A bunch of studs that are heading that way. But everybody has to have some studs heading that way. And Indiana joins the party. That's the good news. But some guys, Dave, still up in the air. And we'll figure all that out. The NBA deadline, folks, whether you like it or not, is midnight, I believe, the 25th, right?
Sunday night going into Monday morning.
Okay.
11:59 p.m. Sunday.
There you go. So that's all the time you've got left, and then you are not eligible. Now, you can go to Europe anytime you want. That doesn't matter.
Sure.
But that's when you'll
good time to go,
out.
Too. I mean, the dollar is killing the euro right
well,
now.
Well, and the other thing about it is if you don't declare for the NBA, well, it doesn't matter. If you don't go back to school after finals week the week after that, you don't go back to school.
And speaking of going to the NBA, is last week the proudest day in Kentucky basketball history with all seven guys announcing
it's
for
pretty,
the NBA,
pretty,
or do they have to all get drafted in the first
pretty
round?
Pretty strong. I don't know what considers proud. Anymore, so they didn't win anything. I know that they will be forgotten about as quickly as 1991's Las Vegas team. And nobody, is anybody hanging banners for draft picks these days? Should I go check? I don't want to check.
Not here, we're not.
I don't want to go check for that. So I don't think they are either in Kentucky with their eight championships on that. So college basketball, as the world turns again, and there might be another turn in it as Oklahoma City has fired their head coach Scott Brooks after 7 years, and they're. There hasn't been one person who hasn't named Billy Donovan who's going there, so
sure.
We'll keep an eye on that. But again, this weekend coming up, what are you going to do? Tom Crean's press conference today, he had some, again, he told the journalists not to read into what he says or how he says it, but he did say, and if James Blackman goes, he did say that in his press conference today, so that's
he doesn't
part,
have the answer yet.
That's part of what could happen in Yogi Ferrell. If without Yogi next year, we've got some guys that are, he said, if Yogi's gone, and if James stays, he's going to have to stay and play better. Well, everybody's going to have to play better unless you think what Indiana did was a good year last year.
Well, everybody has to improve. I mean, it's not like you go into any offseason and you say, you know, this guy's perfect and he's coming back and he doesn't have to improve a lick.
And if everybody improves so
well,
he's
a guaranteed lottery pick.
You'd be like Kentucky.
If he was, they'd be gone.
Five of them would go to the NBA. So some interesting thoughts from Coach Crean today. The other interesting part about his press conference was that every journalist that was there remarked how upbeat and good a mood he was. And you don't hear that ever from any of their press conferences. So this one must have stuck out like a sore thumb. So we'll see what happens as we move forward.
Does he have good news or does he not have good
news?
He
had great news. He was introducing Thomas Bryant. How could you not be happy about that? The number 9 center in the country, 4-star recruit, has made it official. And Indiana's, I guess, recruiting class is now the all-important ranking numbers are out. And Indiana, I believe, also offered a JUCO kid.
Yep.
The other day, and Tom Crean said, "Hey, are you guys done now?" "No, we're not done. Look around. Tell me it was a month ago that we'd have been done, and look at all the stuff that's going on." And Jeff Goodman's list is up to 500 kids right now of people transferring, moving, and shaking. So you never rest on your laurels. You can't, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if injuries are going to play a part. You don't know who's going to transfer. Here's what we do know: you said 11:59 Sunday night, correct?
Yep.
That takes us into Monday at 12:01, right?
Uh-huh.
That's finals week. Finals are over a week from Friday.
Right.
So that means what? The semester's over,
mm-hmm.
school-wise, right? Isn't that how it works?
So I can get a spot in a restaurant.
Or is it dead week?
Night?
When is I isn't graduation latest?
I don't
the
know.
Ninth
when
this year.
Dead
but
week
the point of the matter is,
but
sometimes this stuff takes a couple weeks to play out, and
yeah.
It doesn't have to do with the NBA because some kids will finish up their semester. So when they transfer, if that could be the case,
right.
They are eligible when they arrive.
When they figure it out.
So we've seen this in some other years where it's like, whoa, it's May 27th. Why is somebody leaving?
Right.
Well, they graduated. They packed up their stuff, and then they got around to figuring out their options. Everybody that goes needs to have a landing spot. Nobody just gets up and gets out of here. Why? You're on scholarship. You got books. You got food. You got training table. You got the gym access.
Not everybody's on the same time frame is what you're saying. And you're right. Exactly right. I mean, there's no question.
So
sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah, don't write it down after Yogi's quote-unquote announcement coming up on Saturday. Ah, there's our – don't start
now
to
we
get
know
your,
for sure.
Don't get your chisel out and start putting
that
in
the snow. Well, at this point, they are back to – it was overcommitted. Now it's oversigned because Thomas Bryant has signed. So at this moment, they are still oversigned by one. So somebody still has to vacate. At this point in time, that's the current status. They did offer, as you mentioned,
or they reclassify or send you to prep school, or there's other options.
Michael Mulder, who's at Vincennes, was a JUCO shooting guard there, is going to be making an official visit to UK, to Kentucky. He's visited Creighton, which, oh, by the way, if you're talking IU basketball, they will be playing Creighton initial Gavitt games
which
or whatever
is
that is.
That's
which
the Big East
Big
versus
Ten, Big
the Big
East.
And then the people there have no sense of humor. How do you not put Indiana with Marquette in that? Come on, guys. I mean, you want to pound some more square holes into round pegs. Good job on Georgetown, Maryland. They haven't played since 2009.
Right.
But you've got some of these. You got Nebraska and Villanova.
Rutgers, St. John's.
That's nice. That's a city matchup. That makes some sense. That's the only other one. But again, you had a chance here to beat.
They could have put us against Butler again.
Butler's
we don't play
out
Butler in that thing
because they're out, and Michigan State's already scheduled. Ohio State's already scheduled. Wisconsin's got something going.
We couldn't
on.
Play Indiana Wesleyan, aren't they Jesuit?
They're not in the Big East, so they don't qualify. So that's the Indiana scheduling news coming out of that. The game will be Thursday, the 19th of November. To get
early.
The season. Well, you got to play somebody. And Nebraska, I think, last year was RPI 150, lost their leading scorer and leading rebounder. Not the same guy. Hmm. Two different guys. So they'll have Doug McDermott ain't walking through that door.
No. Well, yeah.
He's not.
That's Creighton.
Well.
You said Nebraska.
I'm sorry.
Nebraska
Creighton
lost their leading scorer also.
Is in Nebraska. Petaway is declared for the draft as well.
Good.
So, so that's not good. Prairie View A&M, but it might be close.
Yeah. Get in that direction. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Don't go anywhere. We got Reds baseball coming up at 8 o'clock.
And who knows when we come back Monday who we'll be talking about is still an Indiana Hoosier.
We should have some information, further information on Yogi Ferrell and James Blackman. We'll have to know one way or another because if they want to go to the NBA, they'll have to decide before we do our show on Monday. So tune in then, folks, and we will be back with you on Monday. You've been in the zone.
Yeah.